It's a movement, but it's about people. Be the People is about we the people joining forces to reclaim and reshape the best of our nation's time-treasured traditions. Each week, we offer insightful interviews with movers and shakers from all different spheres of life. And now, please welcome Dr. Carol Swain.
Welcome to the Be the People Show. Today, we're going to talk about change and transformation. Just because you've been working in a particular field, or maybe you've been doing the same thing, the same old way, all of your life, God may have some surprises in store for you. In today's show, I'm going to be talking with a former Californian who walked away from enormous corporate success, moved to Nashville, Tennessee, and started a successful smoothie business named Nine Fruits after the nine character traits that the Apostle Paul lists in Galatians 5:22. And you may recall that the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Dan Banks is the founder of Nine Fruits. Today, we're going to talk about his family and his incredible journey. Dan has a testimony that we all need to hear. And so help me welcome Dan Banks to the Be the People Show.
Hi, Carol. How are you?
Thank you so much for agreeing to share your story today with my listeners. And we've talked many times about how you ended up in Nashville, Tennessee. Would you tell our listeners just what your life was like in the corporate world and just some of the factors that led you to make dramatic changes that many people would be afraid to do?
Absolutely. Carol, thank you for asking that. And yes, I started with Procter & Gamble right out of college with a career that lasted for about 16 years, helping build a division called Patient Care Products, and worked for them for 16 years. Right after that, I was recruited to be a turnaround person to help turn around other corporations that were struggling. During that career, it spanned 32 years. I learned to work within the corporate environment, but also found that it was very, very exciting and thrilling and certainly fed my ego. But at the same time, it also created a tremendous amount of stress and complications for having a family life that resulted in me finally leaving and starting the Nine Fruits business.
Now, Dan, I've known you for a couple of years, and I can't imagine anyone that's more humble and so easygoing. And so are you telling us that you weren't always that way?
Yes. Oh, I had an ego that was pretty good size, and of course, like a lot of men, wanted to experience the thrill of the corporate ladder and climbing that ladder as fast as I could and stepping over as many people as I could and trying to do all that I could to attain success, all to find out that it wasn't really what I thought it would be, Carol.
And you, I know that you have a wife and Kim and two sons. How were they affected by your pursuit of success in the corporate world?
Well, it's more by how they weren't affected. I really wasn't there as a dad as much as I should have been. I was traveling, working in New York and going back and forth across the country on flights and didn't get to spend the time with them that I should have. So as far as how did it affect them, it was detrimental because I didn't get to be the father and of course the husband to Kim that I could have been and should have been.
Now, were you raised in the church? I know that you are a devout believer now, but during this time you were in the corporate world, would you have described yourself during this time as a Christian?
Well, that's a great question. I don't think I really could, but at the time I probably thought I was, because I was raised going to church by parents who went every Sunday, twice on Sundays, and even on Wednesdays. But Carol, by the time I got to probably about 14 or 15, and with a dad, I was a firstborn son and a dad who was a Marine Corps, 20-year Marine, it was very difficult for me because I saw things that I wish I wouldn't have seen, and it caused me to turn away from the church. And so I suppose I would call myself a prodigal. I left the church for 18 years and didn't come to know Christ till I was 33.
Well, you know, part of my story is I came to Christ late in life, and the church was not a big part of my life. And I guess I had that same quest that you did. Uh-huh. So I understand exactly what you're saying about that, and how a lot of times you achieve success and it's just so empty. It's so meaningless. It doesn't bring happiness. And for you, what was the turning point?
The turning point was when Kim came home on the night of before Father's Day in 1990, and we'd been married for 6 years, and I had no idea she was going to say when she walked through the door, "Honey, I want a divorce."
You're kidding. I didn't know that was part of your story.
Yes. And it was a 2x4.5 because I had no idea, Carol. I was oblivious to any of the challenges that she was going through with our relationship and that whole corporate lifestyle. And I think I might have shared with you, I was also racing bicycles. I was a state champion in cycling. At the same time, I was climbing that corporate ladder with twin four-year-old boys. And Kim had fallen in love with somebody else at UPS where she worked. And unbeknownst to me, I had no idea. And she came home on the night before Father's Day and the night before the biggest race of my career and said, "I hate you, Dan, and I'm going to divorce you."
So did you lose the race?
Well, actually, on the first lap of 44 laps, the pedal on a $5,000 bike fell off halfway through the first lap.
Well, that's a good omen.
And so things started falling apart really fast for me, and not knowing that it was God, but looking back now, I could see it was his hand saying, "Okay, we're not going to let you keep living this life that you think it's all about you." And he started knocking on my door, Carol.
Now we're going to take a break. And when I return from the break, I would like to know, and I'm sure the listeners too, what you did to turn around your marriage.
We are in a cultural war where liberals are targeting our children. Dr. Carol Swain and Steve Fiesel have teamed up to co-author the book, Abduction: How Liberalism Steals Our Children's Hearts and Minds. They expose how liberals are using the entertainment industry and our public school system to indoctrinate our children. The book provides practical steps which you can take to push back. Get your copy of Abduction: How Liberalism Steals Our Children's Hearts and Minds on Amazon. Fight back against the brainwashing of our children.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world. To unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
I'm back with my guest, Dan Banks, and we're talking about surprises, the Christian world, transformation, change, all of those good things. And so, Dan, when Kim asked you for a divorce and you were oblivious to the fact that you had marital problems, how did you restore that relationship given that there was another person involved?
Well, that was very difficult. And I can only share with you that it was God who gave me the ability to weather that really challenging moment. But first he had to do the work in me. So after Kim asked for the divorce,
I sought out every avenue possible to try to repair a marriage because I realized she really was serious and I had no idea, but I didn't want to lose her. And I didn't want to lose our sons, our twin boys, who were four. But the more I realized she was definitely not in love with me and definitely didn't want to be with me and not yet telling me about the fact that there was somebody else, that all led to me seeking out how could I fix me? What did I need to do instead of trying to put our marriage back together myself? And through a series of events over about 4 months, I was finally, I finally heard an actual Focus on the Family testimony on the radio, which was actually directed to me from a very close friend who said, Dan, you need to find Jesus. And instead of sharing how to find Jesus, she directed me to a person who was sharing the actual testimony of how another man came to know the Lord. I listened to that message and committed my life to Christ while driving on Highway 99 on September 17th, 1990, and said, okay, God, I'm all yours, and committed my life that day. And then realized, oh my gosh, what did I do? Now my wife, who's really an atheist, who was raised to be a non-believer in God, realizing I was going to lose her for sure because she certainly wouldn't believe in God.
Boy, what a story. And well, then what happened next?
Well, I grew more and more in my faith. I was one of those new 33-year-old Christians who, Carol, I probably couldn't even tell you what Easter was. It just was, that's how oblivious and unknowledgeable I was about faith or spiritual things. And I just never got it when I was growing up. So I started growing really fast. I sought out people in the church and I sought out discipleship relationships. And as fast as I could grow in who Jesus was and what he meant to me, I think Kim started to see some changes in me. We were so much in debt that we were sleeping in two different floors of the house and she didn't have enough money to actually move out and still hated me.
Well, debt will destroy a marriage, won't it?
It will. So I, God really started working in powerful ways. I got this Bible that was for children. And I would go up to Kevin and Kyle, our twin boys, and I'd go up to their room and I'd start reading it to them. And I noticed that Kim would sneak up and listen outside of the door. And I did that every night. And I'd say, Carol, over the next 3 months, God started to soften her heart as she saw me change and saw me reading the Bible to our twin four-year-old boys. And 5 months after I committed my life to Christ, Kim finally came to church one day when I least likely thought she ever would, about 3 weeks before Christmas, and heard the message of Christ and the message of Christmas and decided to commit her life to Christ as well.
Yeah, what a beautiful, beautiful story. And I know that it doesn't end there. In fact, I'm learning things today about you that I didn't know. So let's move on to the next chapter. I know that where does the fruit farm fit in? Because I know that you and Kim lived on a farm while you were in California.
Well, God supernaturally put our marriage back together as a result of both of us becoming Christians. And we fell madly back in love and started making some big, big changes. One of those changes was getting out of debt and moving out of the expensive house. And I said one day when I came home, honey, we gotta get rid of this lifestyle. And Kim was a nutrition background and educated. And we'd always wanted a little farm. So I started looking for one and found this 5-acre farm with about 100 fruit trees on it. And we sold the yuppie expensive house and bought this farm that was actually a meth lab and owned by some people that were trying to run it into the ground. So we got an opportunity to buy one of those fixer-upper places and develop our own little fruit farm.
So what kind of house were you living in when you were in so much debt? And how did you get the money to get out of debt? Was it from your corporate salary?
It was. I'd say it was a combination of that. And I was still working, so there was salary coming in. And But we had put ourselves in so much debt that it took a long time to get out of debt. And part of that was selling that house and then buying something that was a lot less expensive and something that certainly didn't fit the previous lifestyle we had, which was that little farm.
And so when you purchased the farm, did Kim stay home? Because I know she's really into nutrition. Was she still working, or was she working for the first time as a nutritionist?
No, she left. She left the corporate world, and she decided to stay home. And I got, I'm not sure if you've heard of this part of the story, but I got a reverse vasectomy, and God allowed us to have two more children. So she stayed at home, and we had another boy. And then 3 years after that, we had another little girl, all on the farm.
Well, that's already quite a story. And all of this is taking place in California, but you end up in Nashville, where I met you as the owner of Nine Fruits Smoothies. So could you tell our listeners about how that came to be?
Well, living in California, if you've heard about all the fun things that are happening in California, their culture seems to be spiraling down and taxes are going up. So that just led us to start looking elsewhere. And I was still working in the corporate world, so I traveled quite a bit. And I was working for a company in New York. And I'd hired somebody to manage our business in the South and came out to Nashville and just found Nashville to be one of the greatest places ever. And as I looked, the more I looked around, the more I thought, what a great place to bring our family and raise the four kids, especially the two younger ones. And I brought that idea to Kim, and she said, are you kidding? There's no way I'm ever going to move. Anyway, after about a year of one of her best friends who had moved out here, kept pummeling her with, Kim, just get Dan to take you out for a weekend and check it out. And about a year later, she finally agreed. And on the second day in Nashville, Carol, she goes, okay, Dan, just go back home and sell the house. I'm staying here. I love this place. And that's how we ended up here.
And where do you live? You live in
Franklin.
Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
Do you live on a farm?
No, we didn't buy a farm here. Kim, taking care of a farm is a lot of work, Carol. It's like, that's a 40-hour job.
Oh, I know. I was born and raised in the country. I can't say we had a real farm, but I know what country life is like.
Well, knowing that kind of life, I think Kim was ready to give it up. Raising kids is hard enough and supporting a husband who's traveling. So when we moved out here, I wanted to get a farm, but she didn't. So we ended up on just a regular place where everybody lives in a neighborhood, and we miss the farm. I miss having a tractor and an old truck, really. I wish I could get another place just to get the tractor and the truck again.
I mean, you can still do that. Let's take another break. And when I return, I want you to talk a little. When I return, I want you to talk a little bit about Nine Fruits, but also to give your incredible testimony. Each week, the Be the People show presents interviews with insightful guests from the world of politics, religion, media, and culture. The Be the People show is on podcast. It offers bonus footage. To listen to Be the People online, go to the BeThePeopleNews.com website and subscribe to the Be the People podcast, heard also on the America Out Loud Network. I'm back with Dan Banks. First, I want you to talk a little about Nine Fruits and the smoothie business. And then before we end our conversation, you have to share the part of the story about God's miracles. So the floor is yours to talk about the smoothie business.
Kim really led the smoothie business as far as from a family standpoint. She's just so passionate about health, having a degree in nutrition and physical fitness. And on our farm, she would make smoothies every day for all four of the kids. And when we moved out here, we noticed there's no smoothie places out here. There's a couple, but we think they serve what we call fake smoothies. Lots of syrups and ice and powders. And of course, we made smoothies from fresh fruit right off the trees. So our boys, the older ones, said, hey, mom and dad, if you guys will help us fund this business, we'd love to start one. So Kim and I funded the business for our then 21-year-old twin boys, and they got it up and running, and it became wildly popular. I think it became popular because they were real good looking, and a lot of young girls wanted to come in and see who these two guys were that were making these great smoothies. And that led to more and more people coming in, and it became a very big success here in Franklin, and led to opening up two more locations. And then both boys, after about 5 years, came to us within a month and said they wanted to go into ministry. One got recruited to go be a youth pastor, and the other said, hey, mom and dad, I want to go be a missionary. And at the time, I didn't think I was ready to leave the corporate field, but I really was because of some health conditions. And I ended up taking over the business with Kim about 9 years ago.
Well, and tell our listeners, you know, the nine fruits, which I've already said is the fruits of the Spirit, you have smoothies that correspond with those, right?
Well, that was the original idea, was to take the fruit of the Spirit message, which the Apostle Paul shared in Galatians 5:22, that you've already shared, love, joy, peace, patience, and all nine of them, and actually turn it into a mission-based company that would proclaim two things, Carol. One would be the fruit of the Spirit. So we wanted to highlight nine smoothies on the menu and have each one subtly represent a fruit of the Spirit. So maybe the strawberry banana would be, you'll love the strawberry banana smoothie. So we tried to inculcate or incorporate each character trait into the description of each of the nine smoothies, but nobody ever got it. It was really kind of funny. We were trying to keep it subdued so we wouldn't just be a Christian smoothie place, because we wanted it to be a witness to everyone and not just have it be singular. So we took that out and just proclaimed the Galatians 5:22 message and just had nine smoothies. And the second part, I guess, as a pillar is the health part. We really, really, truly believe that God wants us to treat our bodies as a temple unto Him, a temple unto the Lord. So we don't eat really well, and Kim's passionate about providing a meal for a day that would actually help people eat better. So
when you mean we, make it clear, you're not talking about your family, you're talking about the rest of us Americans.
Absolutely. That's our real passion, is to feed America, offer a alternative to fast food and food that's overcooked and has too much sugar and fat in it, but offer a smoothie that's really real fruit and very healthy. But at the same time, it's got a mission to the name of the business that proclaims the truth about those nine character traits, all in a way that can get served up so that no one that's not a Christian is offended, but that everybody likes, and everybody comes to get a great smoothie. And then they find out also about what the smoothie really means and how there's a message in that smoothie for them.
And Dan, recently I learned yet another thing about your past. Recently, I've learned even more about you, that you have experienced your own miracle with God. And it's not just the miracle of Him saving your marriage and giving you children who were believers, but there's something else that God's done for you. And please share that with our listeners.
Carol, I had the chance to share this with you the other day, but 4 weeks ago, I have received a miracle in my lungs. I was down to about 25% lung capacity after 10 years of very declining lung condition that actually started 20 years ago, but was worse over the last 10 years to a point to where I could barely breathe and barely even walk up a flight of stairs as little as 4 weeks ago on my last checkup. And it caused Kim and I just to get into that desperation mode of, God, please, please help me. And as Kim sought different ways to try to treat me from a holistic standpoint, and then the top pulmonologist here in Franklin was treating me from his standpoint, from a medical standpoint, I was getting no relief from anything. And through my prayer, Carol, was always Isaiah 40:31, those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength and rise up with wings like eagles and run and not be weary and walk and not be faint. Carol, I wanted so much to be able to walk and not be faint. If I never ran, it would be okay. I just wanted to be able to walk and not be faint. And 4 weeks ago, God supernaturally on a Monday, it was November 17th, completely healed my lungs.
You're so great with the dates that God does miracles in your life.
Oh, well, I forever remember. How can I not remember? Because it was a miracle. I can't explain it to you because I've never had a miracle happen to me, but God completely restored all my lung functioning. So now I can run upstairs, run up and charge up hills. And I even got back on the spin cycles over at the Y today for the second time.
And there's something else, Dan, and I don't want to go into a lot of detail about the book that you told me about, The First Hour. And I'm actually doing that myself. I'm modifying it for women. But would you say a little bit about, you were actually seeking the Lord, trying to draw closer to him when he gave you a miracle that you were not asking for?
That's right. I started praying more diligently than I ever have after the last doctor visit 4 months ago. So, Carol, about 2 months ago, a friend of mine who I really, really look up to spiritually and a mentor in my life gave me the book, The First Hour for Men. For the first couple of weeks, I thought it was just for men who may be a little bit more immature in their faith or young in their faith. So I discounted, I didn't look at it, and some circumstances happened that caused me to pick it up and actually read through this book and actually do the 30-day plan that it calls for. And really, it just calls for two major things: reading through the Bible, the New Testament in 30 days, and reading these 18 prayers. And Carol, I read through them. I said, okay, I'm gonna really do this. I was at a point in my life where I really, really need to follow through on what God had put in my life. And I'm not used to doing that. I'm used to kind of taking shortcuts and a person that's probably a little bit more type A and not doing all that God calls me to do. But somehow he convicted me to really, really stick to this book and the 30-day plan. The day after I finished it, Carol, is the day that God completely healed me.
That is such a wonderful story. And I'm so excited about having had you on the Be the People show. And this show is going to air during the holiday season. And so I know that it's going to encourage a lot of people. So I thank you, Dan, for being open about your life, sharing your incredible testimony. I know that you have a dream of writing a book someday. I hope you write that book because now you have more to put in it.
Oh, Carol, you're the first person that I want to share with, but God now has given me, I think, the power through the Holy Spirit. And remember, the healing is not the greatest part, Carol. The greatest part is the power of God's love that he used to transform my heart. If I didn't get healed, that'd be okay. But God revealed a whole new vitality of his power into my heart that I've never, ever experienced before, Carol. And I hope that will give me the inspiration to now finish this book on the nine fruits of the Spirit that you keep asking me to finish. And I thank you for that. And I believe it's now going to get finished.
Well, you know something, I hope that many of the listeners, if not most of them, will think about their own lives and their own journey with Christ and draw close. You know, for the new year, we make New Year's resolutions. And so a good resolution would be, I'm going to spend the first hour with the Lord. And it's something that after talking with you, Dan, I am making that effort. And it's really hard because there's some days that I have to be somewhere by 6:30 in the morning. I'm not sure how that's going to work out, but I have made a commitment to try to give the Lord at least an hour a day of Bible reading and prayer.
Carol, you know that when God gives you a goal and gives you a new conviction to finish something that you've dedicated for following him and drawing closer to him, he makes a way. And that's what he did for me. And I'm seeing him do it for many, many people. And I know Carol is a mentor that you've been for me. I know that Carol, he has way more in store for us than where we are. And I love the fact that in Ephesians 3:20 and 21, he says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can think, ask, or imagine, according to his power that worketh in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Carol, he's able, and he'll do it for you and any of the people in your audience.
Thank you so much, Dan. And for those listeners, I hope you have been edified. I know that I have been. And remember, it's always up to us, the we the people, in the preamble of the Constitution, to stand up and be the people who change our nation and our world. And one of the things this show encourages us to do is change ourselves. And for those of us who are Christians, we change ourselves by drawing close to the Lord. And so be the people next year who know your Lord. And so until next time.